And so if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 2, you'll say, why in the world is he going to Matthew chapter 2? And he just talked about how one man's life influenced somebody else's. Let me make sure I got my other stuff here. I did that on purpose this morning. I was telling Maggie, I said, you got to keep me on track this morning. And she got me all laid out up here, so I'm good. Yeah, okay, we're ready. So if you'll go to Matthew 2, we'll read the first 12 verses. And then I'll kind of share with you my thought that the Lord gave me. And then give us something to rejoice this morning, and we'll move right along. So, now, excuse me. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard those things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I'd like to spend all Sunday school lesson talking about how troubled of a man he really was, but we don't have time for that. But he, very wicked man. And we had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, art not thou the least among the princes of Judea? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, who, excuse me, I'll have to stick my Bible out further. I don't have them bifocals again. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Remember, he's a wicked man. We already know that. But I, again, don't have time to go into that, but in studying this out, and I already knew that, but more wicked. Well, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's reading the verses in chapter 2 in Matthew, verses 1 through 12. What I wanted to look at this morning was the star and the meaning of the star. And you say, well, how in the world then did you... Let me tell you first what I found. When you look at the word star, what does it mean itself? And we think like star in the skies, and that's what we've always thought, and still I do now. It's a bright, shining object, and think about suns and et cetera. And, Maggie said, yeah, the brightest or the closest star to the earth is the sun. That's why it looks as bright as it does. And so we were talking about stars in general. But when you look in the Greek, and I jotted this down. I got my pen here if I need to. Sometimes stuff comes back to my mind, but the star I put is radiance or brilliance. And if you look at it in the Greek or over in the Hebrew, and it's a reference, and it's in the italics, it'll say a visible manifestation of God's presence. And it doesn't necessarily mean star. What it's talking about is that radiance or brilliance. And an example it gives is in the Old Testament, it talks about the Shekinah glory. Or the glory, it's talking about when around the ark, around the children of Israel, when they're leaving Egypt. You think about the fire, the burning bush with Moses. You think about a light. You think about a bright light. You think about, I mentioned cloud, I mentioned fire. You think about over in, let me find it. I won't read them all, but we've talked about them before. You think about over in Acts chapter 9. You know where I'm going with this. I think that's it. I didn't have it marked. And as he journeyed, talking about Paul, he came near Damascus and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And, of course, that light gets brighter as we go through Acts for Paul, as it should in our lives, too, as we're saved. It gets brighter along the way. And so we think about this star as a brilliant light, radiant, putting forth light. In other words, Shekinah glory. The presence of God is what we think about with the star. And so as I looked, and I thought, well, that makes sense. And I read that this morning. I said, for we have seen his star in the east. And I said, well, yeah. And because I was looking at studying more for the shepherds and the wise men and what they'd seen and their different reactions, and how we get too caught up, I think, is today, and we say this all the time, in the, the marketing and everything that goes on around Christmas. And we don't slow down enough to pay attention to the real meaning of Christmas. But then that stuck with me. I said, but you know, I've never really thought about what that star meant. And then I started thinking about the wise men even more. I thought, well, how did these wise men, can I know more about them? Well, I've heard before, we always say three wise men, but you go back and read after some, they're saying may have been a dozen wise men, may have been 50 wise men. We just don't know. We just know the gifts were three gifts or types of gifts, but each one could have brought frankincense, more could have brought myrrh, more could have been. So, but we think of three wise men or three gifts. And so as I looked, I said, well, these wise men, they came from Persia. And it hit me again. I said, well, now, they didn't come from Israel. They didn't come from Jerusalem. I said, now, Herod, he was appointed by the Romans to be over Jerusalem. And he tried to do some things politically. He, again, a very wicked man, but into politics, too. So he tried to build new buildings and structures and rebuild the temple. So he tried to get on the people's good side, but it's really so he could stay in charge. You know, he had one of his wives killed. He had his three oldest sons killed. He had them all executed, had them beheaded because he wanted to stay in control. And he thought, well, they might try to overthrow me. There was no reason for him to do that he could find, but he just did it to stay in control. So I thought, well, Herod would have known because he was in Jerusalem. And then he inquired here in verse number 4. He said, all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So what they did, they went back and said, well, by the word of the prophet. And so they think, and then you look back through Scripture, you think, well, that's found in Isaiah, and that's found in Micah, and said, well, that's how they would have known. But still, to my mind, I was thinking, I said, well, what about these wise men, though? They're from Persia. And I got things, so I got the map out, you know, got my big concordance out, the one I brought during the, a couple months ago, the, where we drove around town, the treasure hunt, that little scavenger hunt. You know, I was the only one brought that big concordance with me. Didn't need it at all, but I brought it. And it's got a little map in it, and I was looking, and it hit me. When I was looking at that, I guess the Lord did that. It wasn't anything I come up with. I was looking and reading that, and I noticed across there it said, Old Babylonian, or Babylonia. And I thought, well, wait a second now. If these kings came from Persia, that would have been the Babylonian Empire. Now, what would have made them be looking for a king of the Jews? And the man is Daniel. So, that's where one man's life can affect others. Not just for a few days, but for generations. So, let's flip over to Daniel this morning, just for a few little places. And we'll look here. And we'll see what made these wise men, what made them inquire about this king of the Jews. As we go here. You go to Daniel. Let's go to chapter 1 first. I'm going to read different places. And we're going to see how Daniel's life. See, you got to stay with me here. In Daniel's life, and you got to think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego too. Okay. You don't know, and I've never, ever seen this before. You don't have any idea. I don't either. What I mean by you don't, I mean all of us. The influence you may have on somebody else. And you may never know. But there had to be some of these in the Babylonian Empire, some of these priests, some of these scribes that had to witness and see Daniel's life and through not only and worship God. They might have done it in secret. I don't know. But that had to be carried on for generations because they were looking for a Savior. They were looking for the King of the Jews. Because why else would they have known living in Persia? Now I'm talking about, now Scripture says he was at least 12, not Scripture, but when you study it out, reference in Scripture, they traveled at least 1,200 miles, if not farther. Took them 2 years to get there. And all the time he's following this star. And I'll tell you something else about this star too. They said the star didn't move like a normal star. It was just, in other words, it stayed right above where the child would be. So in other words, the Shekinah glory or the brightness. So it's not, I guess it would seem like it would move to them, but anyway, I can't get into that because I'm really going to be honest with you. I didn't understand all that, how that worked. But as when they were looking, because they weren't astrologers, but they were familiar enough with the Word of God. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because it's exciting when you read that, because I never had thought about that before. But then in Daniel had influence on these wise men. Just look at a few places here, and you can see where that may have occurred. So in Daniel 1, let's see, verse number 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Michael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. So right there is one of the first. Then look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we won't read them all because you're familiar with them. But as we turn over and said verse number 5 of chapter 2, said, then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, that the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. So see, Daniel, early on, he saved all of these. And what I mean saved them, kept them from being killed, the magicians and the astrologers. And so if you're back in those days just thinking, you had, I would think, you have to think, there's something special about this man. He's just saved my life and all the other astrologers, because we couldn't answer the king's request. We couldn't interpret this dream. I wonder what else is going on with this fellow. What else? So they started paying a little more attention to him. That doesn't mean all of them did, but some had to. So if you go through there, it's in verse number 6, it said, but if you show the dream, the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And if you go to verse number 16, skipping over there in chapter 2, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Michael, Azariah, and his companions. And as we go through and you look through the rest of that chapter 2, he said the dream and its interpretation. And as you go on through and we go to verse number, let's go to chapter number 3, if you would. And this gets to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, well, we're talking about Daniel. Yeah, but they were companions of Daniel. Oh, and I love hearing this read. Be it verse number 18, chapter 3. And these other astrologers and magicians had to have heard this. See, they've already seen that Daniel's life, and we don't have time to go through all of it this morning, but all the way through, they've already seen what Daniel's done in interpreting these dreams and saving the whole lot of them from getting, when I say the whole lot, I mean the whole group from being killed. And then here stands three companions of Daniel's. They know are friends of Daniel's. They came into captivity with Daniel. And said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And verse number 17 right above that said, but if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he would deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Then was Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, I went backwards on him, full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was to be heated. Even the people throwing them in to the fiery furnace were killed. And you know what? These astrologers, these magicians in Babylonia, the people of Babylonia, had to watch that. And see, I think about this. You know, you remember Elijah. Remember when he was running? He said, I'm the only one left. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he said, I'm the only one. Nobody else worships you, God, but me. I'm the only one. And remember, God spoke to him and said, that's not right. That's right. There's some that's not bent a knee. They're not bowed. And you know, I think that's what was happening here. We're not told that. That's just me thinking that. But I think others were watching and observing. And through their lives, others begin to serve God. Because what other explanation would you have? Why would they be interested in the King of the Jews, not just for 10 years or 20 years or 25, but for almost 400 years looking, look, and would pass that along to their children before they die. You think about it, say, look, you know, and the star is not mentioned, but they know to look for a sign. And they had Isaiah, they had Micah to look, I mean to read and get to where to look for this king of the Jews. And when they found or saw the star, they were so excited, it said. And they packed up and they went to see him. But it all goes back to one man's life here. That's Daniel. Let's read a couple more places and we'll get back over to the New Testament. But as you go over and we look and a couple other places and go over to chapter 4, if you would, with me. Verse number 33. Now see, all would have known this about Nebuchadnezzar. And see, if you recall too, when you talk about the golden image, Nebuchadnezzar was the head. There's never been a kingdom. We never saw it. I mean, we read about the Roman Empire. We never saw it either, but we heard how vast it was. We think about the Gentiles today and the nation, our nation, United States. We think about Europe and what they've conquered, so to speak, or what they, I guess, their isles or their, I don't want to say properties, but their, not states, but maybe lands that they control. For example, the seas. Think about their military and army, not only Europe and the United States, but nothing's ever been as great as Nebuchadnezzar. He was the top. He was the number one Gentile kingdom. That kingdom was vast, covered everything. So it had to be known these things had to be happened to him. So let's read verse number 33. The same hour quickly was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, as his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And remember what caused him to do that is he put himself above God. And in verse number 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, as he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the God that these wise men were looking for and were going to worship. The same one that Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges here in Babylonia, the same one that Daniel worshipped. Same one that when they told him, you got to stop praying, Daniel. So we're going to throw you in the lions then if you don't stop praying. Daniel said, okay. What'd he do? Went back up to his room. I picture it like going upstairs. I have to picture this stuff in my mind. It may not really work this way, but that's how I remember it. And he might have went up these stairs to this room. He went over and opened his window like he always did, bowed down and prayed. Of course, I think they had little holes in the wall or whatever. Oh, there he is. He's praying. Let's get him now. Because he's praying to his God. And we're trying to catch him. Because there's always going to be that devil's crowd. It's going to be anti-God. But here in Nebuchadnezzar and here through the book of Daniel, here through, you can go through and look at the handwriting on the walls. We're going through Daniel. Going through the 70 days or 70 weeks. You're going through the end of Daniel. Going through the end of what, chapter 11, I think is the end there, I believe. I don't even, chapter 12, 12 chapters. Go through all of that and look at Daniel's life. And as we get back over here into Matthew, I'll flip back there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you, Pastor. Let me see here. Daniel 6, 25 through 28. Okay, we'll do that. So if you'll turn over there. Yeah, this is after the den of lions. So we'd read what Nebuchadnezzar had said after what had occurred to him. And you know another thing I think too. You think about Daniel's life, because he was a young man when he's taken into captivity. It spanned over several kings, if you'll read through here. And it even went through the overthrow of Babylon. Is that not correct? Yeah, because other kings came in. So let's read this here. It said, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, oh yeah, I see where you're going here, Pastor, that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. There you go. Goes right with it. And that's where those kings came from. And you know, I guess to y'all might not have thought that way. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and see, that's how I think that Herod and
I think the first 7 chapters of that big Chaldean.
Yeah, it did.
And then the rest of it's in Hebrew.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Pardon me.
No, that's not I appreciate that. That's what Sunday school class is about. That's right. And I think that's how Herod and the men of Jerusalem, and the Jews, they knew the Scripture well enough. Let's say the Pharisees, so to speak, the Sadducees, they knew Scripture, and as Brother Gale here pointed out too, some of that was already kept, and they knew that, and they had Isaiah, and they had Micah as well, but they didn't understand it or know, because they had to inquire even of the wise men that came, well, where is this King of the Jews? Remember, Herod said, I want to go worship him too. But see, and you think, well, how did they know to go to a star? And I looked and looked, and I thought, well, I couldn't find that anywhere. It's not a mention. But you go to verse 12, and it says, being warned of God in a dream. I thought, well, it could have been another dream. I don't know. But somehow they knew, and they knew, and it's from God, that when they saw that bright light, they saw what we call a star. Scripture says, as we say, a star here. That's what the Scripture right here says. As we see, it said, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. So they're over 1,000 miles away. They said, we've seen it. Along that line of over 400 years in Babylonia and then in Persia and through the changing of those kings, and through those different kingdoms, they continued. There was a remnant. There was a small group. May have been a large group. I don't know. They continued to worship God based upon a man by the name of Daniel and what they'd seen and heard him say and been passed along. So when you as grandparents and great-grandparents and your grandkids watch you and you think, well, am I teaching them anything? Or have I given them anything? Have I showed them anything? Have I taught them about God? Parents maybe think that too as your kids get older. You just never know what effect it has on their life. You think about that. And they watch this one man, Daniel. And so as I studied that out and I tried to look and did the best I could, I couldn't do it without the help of God. And God guiding me and showing that to me and making me think about things like that. And that as we look at the visit from the wise men, what made them wise men go visit? Because they really, if you study it out, they weren't Israelites. See, I guess I'd always had that impression. I knew they traveled afar, but I always had an impression like maybe they were Jews and they lived somewhere else and they traveled in. And I don't know. I don't know why I thought. But as I looked at it, I see that's not the case. And so they traveled to worship a king who was not only going to be king of the Jews, but they knew and understood that was the king of the world as they knew it. And the king of heaven, because that's what Daniel, and that's what they'd heard Nebuchadnezzar say, that's what they'd heard Darius say and proclaim. He was an almighty God. And as you look, and we study out here just a couple more places, and I look at my time, I've just got a few more minutes because I want to allow us plenty of time this morning. And if you'll flip over to Luke 2, and I just wanted to read that. Like I said, I'd started to look at just the shepherds and the wise men, but I wanted to look at the difference, see, in the response. Because the shepherds, they were there. So we looked at a group here with the wise men, where they traveled from, and you may not agree with that, and that's fine with the wise men. Like I said, that's just kind of something that I thought of there and looked. looked at and thought, well, why wasn't Herod his magicians and astrologers and prophets, why wouldn't they have known more? Well, that's because they were too caught up in worldly things. They were too caught up in false worship, false religion. They were too caught up in themselves. Herod was too caught up in I. Again, go back and read his life sometime and you'll see. But these wise men, you know, I don't know, and I think about this, and I'm just talking out loud with you guys before we read this. I don't know if they spent every day looking, but you think about the early Christians, sold everything they had. They did for the church, help each other, get the church started, because they expected Christ's return during their lifetime. They expected it the next day. I think these wise men looked every day. You know, they might have, and I don't know, I'm just talking here, you never know, they might have been, and because again, over that period of those hundreds of years, they had trouble too. What I mean is battles and wars and switched countries and probably moved. But we know they had to turn out to be, they ended up being wealthy men because of what they brought. But at the same time, think about this. Did they get up every day? Now, is this the day that the Savior is going to come? Is this the day the King of the Jews is going to be born? Let's look and see. And then the next day, and the next day. And same way as the early church, as Christians, as they served the Lord every day, and they went to bed at night, and they got up the next day, is this the day the Lord's going to come? In other words, they kept themselves on track. And they didn't get caught up in all the hustle and bustle. In other words, have we really forgotten the meaning of Christmas? Have we really forgotten about what God's done for us in our lives? And did we get up each morning looking for Christ's return today? And I think about that as I read. But let's look here at the shepherds, because I always like to read. And as I was reading, I don't know if I told Maggie or Jesse, one of them, this. And I said, but you know, you can't forget about the shepherds, because the shepherds makes me think of your everyday working fella. They're out there keeping the sheep, and they're out in the fields working. And I think about them as being Jews and being in Israel, or being close by at least, Bethlehem. And said, let's look at verse number 8, chapter 2, and we'll be wrapping up. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone. See, we go back to that light, radiance, brilliance. And see, in the Hebrew, that's what the word star means. And it shone. So I'm thinking here, there's already something bright. Here's an angel. And said the rate, and they're talking about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were so afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so while the shepherds are hearing this, the wise men are saying, look, we got to get moving. Because there's a star, we got to move. And said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You go back and read the end of Daniel there. I think it's over in chapter 12. And you'll see as Daniel talking about peace that the Savior would bring. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And I'll stop reading there in verse number 15. So you had two groups, had the wise men, had the shepherds, had the others, I'm sure, but had different, announcements, so to speak. Wise men, they'd followed the prophets and the word of God for years. It might have been in secret. I don't know. I don't know where they lived. But Daniel had an influence on them. You know, I think about this sometimes too as we go through Christmas. And I'm finished with this. You know, the wise men, they followed God's word and what they'd heard in Daniel's life and watched it. And they might have got off track here or there. I don't know. And exactly how all that happened. But I do know they had to know about God. And they had to know there was a Savior going to be born. And I know the shepherds had to believe God when they heard the angels said the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they heard the heavenly host, and so they believed God, and they made a move to go see this Savior or see the Savior that was born, see this child, is what I just want to say. And I think about us sometimes in this time of year, or any time of year, do we get off track as well? And what I think of as an example is I take that little dog of ours out sometimes for a walk. You say, where are you going with this? And I say, well, I have to put that dog on a leash. And if I don't, she'll run wild. And so with that leash, I can kind of keep her kind of where I want her to go. And I can kind of tug her back when I don't want to go. Other little dogs go up the street. I don't want to get in a fight with them, so I tug them back. And I've told y'all before, I look like the Grinch, especially if I wore this green shirt and put a green hat or something on, or me in that wheelchair and that dog out in front. You know, all I have to do is put them antlers. You've seen them on that dog. I'd look like the Grinch that stole Christmas going down the driveway. But, that dog's got out of that leash on me twice, got out of that little leash harness. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Wayne. And one time she came right back to me. The other time she didn't, and I had to put my crutches down. And as she went by me, I dove out and caught her back leg. And so I'm laying there in the front yard holding on to that dog by the back leg. Leash is up the road. Four cars drive by. They just look out the window. Here goes the next one. I expected a cell phone to come out any time. And it'd be on YouTube. Finally, the fourth guy, he stopped. He got out, and the older gentleman, he said, now I want to ask you something. I said, what's that? He said, now are you down there intentionally, or did you really fall? And I said, well, I said, this is my girl's dog. And I said, I just couldn't let it go. So if it got away from me, couldn't catch it. He said, so you did that on purpose. I said, yeah, but the thing is, now I can't hold the dog and get my crutches and get back up. He said, well, let me take the dog and you can get up. And I did. But the whole point of telling you that whole story is this. Sometimes we're like that dog. We try to get out from underneath that harness. Try to get away. That's right. And you know, thank the Lord for giving us that tug. And I tried to tell that dog when I had her, I tried to pull a little bit and said, no, you can't go. I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. You don't need to fight them other dogs. You don't need to get over there back when it was warmer weather where them yellow jackets were. I think we killed them all, but you don't need to get stung. I need to keep you out of there. But you know what she wants to do? She wants to push and struggle because she wants to get out on her own. And she don't know. I don't know where she would have ended up if I hadn't caught her by that back leg that day. And I think, you know, sometimes I might get out like that, and I hope the Lord catches me like that. Tackles me, holds me down, stays right there with me. Because I don't know how long I laid out there as people passed by. I didn't let her go. And I think about that as the Lord, and he doesn't let us go. Hangs on to us, keeps us on track, puts the harness back on us, puts that leash, I don't want you, but that's kind of in the example I'm using, back on us to hold us, gives us that tug, says, I'm right here. Yeah, that's right. My yoke is easy. And you know what? It is on that dog, too. As long as she does and goes where I want, I give her plenty of room. She can go 15 feet. She can go anywhere she wants to go. I try to keep her out of trouble. Those wise men, you think about them wise men. Daniel's life not only affected just their generation, but the kids and the next generation. So you think about your life. As you go through life and the Lord tugs on you and pulls, but how that effect might be affecting somebody at work, at home, your children. And you know what? You may never know. It may be a generation, two, three generations down the road. All right, so it's 2 or 3 minutes.